Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. It's time to get your Bible and grab a cup of coffee. This is Gilbert from Red Bluff, California.
Hi, this is Andy from Vancouver, Washington.
We'd like to welcome you to join us. And we are in the book of Mark. We are looking at this theory of Ivan Panin's about understanding the Gospels and really understanding the fundamentals of walking, of changing our mind, which is really the first fundamental principle of learning. You've got to be able to clear your mind of any false conceptions. And it seems like the biggest enemy has to do with religions, religiousness and religions and people that are religious. And doesn't it, Andy?
Yeah, it talks about that a whole lot. The religious leaders in here were standing against him. The people that were getting healed by him, they had no problem with him.
The normal man.
The normal man had no problem with Jesus. The religious people were fighting against Jesus because he was contradicting in their minds God, but they had their own beliefs that had none to do with God.
Now, we're not going to read this context again, but the last context we read was he came into a house, it says. The crowd comes together so that they could not even eat bread. So he's in this house, and his friends heard it. They went out to lay hold on him. And also, in the scribes, they came down from Jerusalem, and they were saying that he has Beelzebub, and that's the I think that is actually the Lord of the Flies, is one thought on the translation of that. And by the prince of the demons, he casts out demons. These are religious people. These were the people that had position in the temple, in the church building, church leaders. And they were saying something that Jesus actually told them, but whoso blasphemes against the Holy Spirit has no forgiveness unto this age, but is guilty of an eternal sin, because they were saying he has an unclean spirit. And so this is, I consider this the number one sin you absolutely do not want to do, an eternal sin, the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And we'll go on from here, but it's something we might all want to think about, is to come out of religiosity and just walk with Jesus. Don't walk in a particular denomination. Don't have your mindset. Change your mind and come and follow the Lord. And this is what we're doing by reading God's Word. We're in Mark chapter 3, verses 31 to 35. And we are, this is all starts way back. Where did it start, Andy?
Hold on, I'll tell you. It started in chapter 1, verse 9.
Yep. In those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee, he was baptized by John, and this is a continuation of him going about and then meeting Peter and his brother Andrew, and then his cousins joined them, and then him designating the 12 apostles out of his disciples. They're still disciples. They're still learners. And these are all the things that he did from the moment he's baptized and proclaimed as God's son by God himself, a voice from heaven claiming, "This is my beloved son. In thee I'm well pleased." And now it's the same story. We're building it, and we'll start in verse 31.
And that term is the big piece that we're looking at is called it's not a verse, it's not a context, it's not a chapter.
it actually is turned into this, what is that? I forget.
I forgot too. We'll anyway, tell you later when it comes to my mind.
It's another term. But it's bigger than the chapters.
Because for years we've talked about context.
A passage.
But we have not talked about passages.
And this is a passage.
A passage is all these connected scriptures, and it tells the big picture. It tells the full picture. So this is where it started with his baptism, beginning his ministry, where he said, change your mind and come and follow me. Those were the two main objectives. Do what I do. Maybe you're not going to do it at first. I'll educate you. Just come walk with me and have a changeable mind.
And it's making us look at it as a whole picture instead of a verse or a context or a chapter. The ands connect a big, big picture that it wants us to look at.
He goes in and out of houses. Sometimes the house becomes so full of people that he goes away with his disciples into a desert, but he's still doing things. But this is the full context of all things as he's gathering his disciples. He's gathering them, well, not one by one, it seems like two by, and there's one by Matthew, the tax collector, but some of them two by two. And the things he's doing along the way, the things they're he hasn't raised the dead yet in this, but he has healed lepers, those condemned to uncleanness, being condemned to be an outsider that nobody wanted to even, they had to cry out, I'm a leper, and everybody would run out of the way because they didn't want to get leprosy, and so on. Now we're in Mark 3:31 through 35.
And his mother and his brethren come, and standing without, sent unto him, calling him. And a crowd was sitting about him, and they say to him, lo, thy mother and thy brethren without seek for thee. And he answered them and saith, who is my mother and my brethren? And looking round on them, and sat round him in a circle, he says, see my mother and my brethren. Whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother.
So he went from the physical family, which is still outside, Mary, his mom. And there's a religion that they make statues to Mary. They worship Mary like she's even, and access to Jesus is through Mary. It never says that in the Bible. But here is Mary out, and this totally contradicts their thought. Because here is Mary and his brothers are outside, and they're looking for him, and they ask him who is, and he says, asks the group around him, who are my mother and my brothers, and he explains it as those people within his house collectively is his mother, but individually are his brothers, and one also talks about my sister too in one of the explanations of that.
Well, this one says, the same as my brother and my sister and my mother.
Yeah.
That's what this one says. And it says they sat around him in a circle.
Yeah.
So Jesus was right in the middle of them. So there's a picture of Jesus teaching people. He wasn't up on a pulpit. He wasn't anywhere else. He was literally in the middle of the people looking. You know, if you're in the middle of people, you look around you at the eyes of the people when you talk.
Eye to eye.
Eye to eye, you look at people when you're talking to them.
Mouth to mouth.
Yep.
Face to face, just like it says in different places in the Bible. Well, another thought too, the same as my brother and my sister. So, you know, no matter what gender, and mother, collectively a mother, but individually brother and sister, but we're an equal. We're joint heirs. He makes the people in that room, the followers, the ones that open themselves up to repent, to change their minds, to follow him, and learn to begin to think like he does, do what he does, but also to think. He not only demonstrates it, but he shows the purpose and the reason why he does these things. The Bible opens up what is on Jesus's, what's in his heart, on his mind, in his heart. Anything else you saw? But here's the picture. Andy just said it. They're all around him. They're not like sitting in a pews and he's higher and they're all, he's all face and Jesus or the minister's facing one direction. Jesus is in the middle and his brothers, sisters, the group of them called the mother are all around him. It doesn't say whether they're sitting, or let's see, they sat, they're all sitting. You see, now you know.
That would be a good picture to do if you were talking to people and explaining things about the Bible, to get in that literal position.
Mm-hmm.
That would be an interesting look, wouldn't it?
Well, here's another thought.
And they were in, and where were they now? I was going to see this.
They're in Jesus' house, I believe.
Oh, they're in a house.
They're in a house, but I strongly believe that's Jesus' house, just like it said a little bit before.
Okay.
He didn't need to say that any more times, but he had a house in Capernaum, mm-hmm. and they went to his house. And so here we are. We're in a house. We just went to a restaurant. Who's sitting and who's standing? Remember, this is all about servitude. There's 40 times the word service, immediacy, is found here. Who is sitting and who's standing?
The sitting people are being served and the standing people are serving.
And the standing person.
Yeah, the standing person is serving.
And who's pursing?
Jesus.
That was a new word. I was going to say a person who is serving, and I just called it pursing. Anyway, the person serving is who?
The one standing here.
Who's that?
Jesus.
Yeah. And the people that are sitting are being served.
Yes.
You got the, and he said, don't call any man teacher because he's still in the form of a man. It doesn't mean you still don't learn from him. He said that for another reason, but anyway, he is teaching them, but in a living way. And the Bible is hot off of God's lips, and this is what we have today. It's called the living word. It's not the translation we're using, but it's living. It's alive. All Scripture is God breathed, and it's living. So this shows Jesus serving, and he wants us to learn servitude. So teachers should stand out of respect to be a servant and do things immediately, but the people being served, they should sit, but it should be around like this. It was a black church. I know at least one or two black churches. I don't know if the other ones did this, but it was called the Church in the Round. And the minister was usually below everybody, and they would sit on, like, you know, around him in these bleachers. And because sound rises and the way the acoustics are, so they had this church in the round, and they were actually, they taught the truth. A lot of them did.
Hmm.
They don't teach the same doctrine then, when they were teaching the truth that they do today. They teach, I don't know what they're teaching. Chapter 4, Mark 1 through 9.
And again he began to teach by the sea. And a great crowd is gathered unto him, so that he entered into a boat and sat in the sea. And all the crowd were close by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things in parables, and said to them in teaching, Hearken, lo, a sower went forth to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured it. And other fell on rocky ground, where it had not much earth, and straightway it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. And when the sun has risen, it was scorched, because it had no root, withered away. And other fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And others fell onto a good ground, and it yielded fruit, growing up and increasing, and it brought forth 30, 60, and 100. And he said, He who has ears to hear, let him hear.
So that word straightway is in there about this one that grows up, but because it had no depth of root, yet it withered. It didn't have a root. But here he is, and he's in the crowd, so he draws away into a boat. And all the crowd were close by on land. And he teaches them in parables. Now, that's going to be explained in the next context. We might want to just go on down to that. But it's this is a continuation of Mark 1, 9, after Jesus is baptized. These are all the things. And I think we're going to go almost into chapter 8, too.
All the way to chapter 8.
All the way to chapter 8 is really this one
passage.
Story. The one
passage.
Story. It's one complete story. And he's going to be all these different places. Sometimes he's going to be in a crowd. Sometimes he's going to be alone. And sometimes he's going to be alone with his 12, the 12 learners, 12 disciples.
Verse 10, and when he was alone, they were about him with the 12, ask of him the parables. And he said to them, to you it is given the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to those without, all things are done in parables, that looking they may look and not see, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest haply they should turn again and it be forgiven them. And he said to them, know you not the parable? Then how shall you know all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are they that by the wayside where the word is sown. And when they should hear, straightway cometh Satan and takes away the word sown in them. And these likewise are they sown upon rocky places, who when they should hear the word, straightway receive it with joy and have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, straightway they stumble. And others, they are sown among the thorns. These are they that have heard the word, and the cares of the age, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And those are they that were sown upon the good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bear fruit, 30, 60, and 100.
Well, that word is, again, the foundations, the basic image of Jesus Christ. And the sower sows the word in verse 14, the logon. And the word logo is image. And in this instance, you're looking at the bones of Jesus. You're looking at the framework, the basic, what his image consists of, the basic framework that tells you his heart and mind on things. Like the first layer, or when you build a house, you dig deep and you lay a foundation, and it says we're to lay it on the rock. And we started 53 years ago, and we started by studying the word metanoos, change your mind, which is the very first thing Jesus says, change your mind. And then he said, follow me. And it goes all the way through repentance, faith, baptisms. There are three baptisms. And there's a baptism in the cloud, there's a baptism in the sea, and they're in one spirit baptized into one family. And that word logon is found, or logo, which is Jesus. In the beginning was the word in John 1:1, and that's found in verse 15. Where the word, where Jesus is sown. And the sower sows the image of Jesus. And in verse 15, the ones that fell beside the road, where the word was, where Jesus was sown with this basic idea, but Jesus himself, the name of Jesus was sown. And Satan comes and takes away the foundation, this fundamental of Jesus. And this word is continually found in this context. And the last verse is 20. And it's found 1, 2, 3, four or five. The foundations, the logon is found five times in that context. And this is all about the image of Christ, how he thinks, what's most important to him, the basic structure of our whole beliefs. And the last one that's mentioned is eternal judgment. That tells you how Jesus thinks. And you can tell his judgment that he gave his own life, that whoever believe on him would not perish but have eternal life. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish but have eternal life. There's that eternal life. And he's given us eternal judgment. So we should be working ourselves hard for people's salvation. Jesus came to die for us, to take our sins away. And that is part of eternal. I think that's the primary part of eternal judgment. He died for us. And if we come and follow him, we partake in his death. It begins by that. Now to the crowds, he spoke in parables. Oh, he told the parables. Okay, we haven't got to the next context. And then verses, do we read that 10 through?
Yeah. Yeah, I went 10 to 20.
Okay, so I'm free to talk about this. Mm-hmm. Now he's alone. What is he able to do?
He can talk to the 12, not in parables. He'll talk to them straight. He won't tell them mysteries. He'll tell them answers about things.
So he called it the logo, the image, but he really didn't explain it. He told them enough that later on, but we haven't gotten into that, so I can't talk about it too much. But Jesus really is the logo, the L-O-G-O-S, logos. And he had many things to tell them about him, but they were in the crowd. He only talked to his disciples alone. So all these people are going to be invited to become a disciple. And by the time of Jesus' death and on the day of Pentecost, there were a good 500 disciples right there, not yet born up, but there were some people that were really getting ready. And then there were several thousand on the day of Pentecost, and they actually became his kids. They became adopted, these disciples. And there were, 2,000 or 3,000, did it say next?
Well, there was about 120. I love how God says about.
That's another
one. There were about 120. And then from that about 3,000 people later on that day. So there's
became
roughly 3,200 people.
Were adopted. You talk about nationalization, you know, when people become naturalization, when people become citizens of a country. Can you imagine being adopted into Jesus' family?
Into a citizen of that country.
Yeah. To this, the kingdom of the heavens, being adopted into that. But also not only that, but into his house. Now, see how personal this really gets in chapter 3 we just read. They sat around him in his house in a circle. And sometimes he's out in the wilderness walking and working with people. Sometimes they're in his city with him. But then there's the ones in his house that are invited in. And the ultimate goal is for us to invite as many people as we can into his house, into that kind of a relationship. I don't want to miss anything. What anything more on this before we move along? Then it talks about this parable. Some people are like stony ground, rocky ground. Well, if you're a rocky ground, what do you want to do? Clear the rocks out of
there. Get the rocks out of there.
Get all those other religious, you know, and those rocks are, if Jesus is a rock, these are little Christs. These are little small C Christs. These are little antichrists. These are little religions that are really not honoring and leading people to Christ. They're distractions. They're stony ground. And they stop people from having a root, having a deep root. And then there's the tares. There's always tares around us that...
You mean the thorns?
Yours says thorns. Mine says tares. You mean in...
Where's that?
Among thorns. That's that translation. Let's see what this one says. Thorns is both of them. I was thinking of and something else. Okay. We'll leave that in here so people can see I make mistakes. The sown among thorns, they hear the word, and the cares of this age and deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And again, that's the foundation truths, the logon. Do you want to add anything to that, Andy?
But there's those that are sown on good ground, and they hear the word, and they receive it, and they bear fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100.
And that ground?
That's good ground.
Yeah, our heart. It's our heart.
It's our heart, and it's people that hear, and within, and I won't go into the other ones. I was going to say something, but yes, but they accept it. It says they hear the word and receive it. So really receiving it means that you do it.
And it has to be received into our heart.
Yes.
Into the very, like the pilot's seat in a man. We have spirit, soul, and body. I'm talking about the spirit or the heart of man. We're the pilot. And we want that part to be open to God. At this point, we haven't gotten to all the other details. So 21 through 23.
And he said to them, is the lamp brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed and not to be put on a stand? For nothing is hid save it that be manifested. Neither was anything made secret but that it would come to light. If any has ears to hear, let him hear.
You know, when you're talking about a lampstand, you're actually talking about the holy place in Moses' temple, the outer court, like our flesh. There's no lamp out there, but there's a basin to wash in. There's the altar of sacrifice, the brazen altar. But this stand where the light was to be was in the
holy place.
And if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship or communion with one another, and the blood of Jesus does the ultimate of what Jesus came here for, was to die, shed his blood, and be raised. And the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. If we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have communion with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sins.
So there he's talking about, he didn't make reference to it, but he's talking about a lampstand. It's not just a random statement. He's talking about something to do with the temple.
And our mind. That's the area of our mind. And that, which is also, we want that to join with our heart so we're not double-minded or whatever. We want our heart to be the heart of God, and we want our mind to, we want the heart of God to control our mind too. I guess that's the best way
right.
to say it.
That's the right control going yeah. in that direction. Yes, yeah. I see what you mean.
And again, looks like we have run out of time. Please join us again. And up until that time, may God lead you into all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. That's P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. Or call us at 360-600-6726. That's 360-600-6726. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible because it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.